Achtung, Achtung, das ist ein Lore-Podcast. Es könnte also zu titelgebenden Elementen Spoiler enthalten. Dankeschön.
Rein in den Suit, raus aus dem Vault.
Das ist NewgirlCast,
dein Fallout-Lore-Podcast.
Hallo und willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Newcare Talk. Ich hatte den sehr tollen Gast Kenneth Vecchio da, der Gründer von Fallout for Hope, wer ihn noch nicht kennt. Hat mich sehr gefreut, ihn da gehabt zu haben. War ein sehr besonderes Interview, für mich zumindest. Und auch hier gilt, wie bei Overseer Kyle, das Interview wird auf Englisch sein. Also wer der englischen Sprache nicht mächtig ist, möge sich es übersetzen lassen oder sich kurz meine Zusammenfassung anhören. Also wir haben über seine Organisation Fallout for Hope gesprochen, über ein wahrscheinlich uns sehr bald erwartendes, sehr großes Update für Fallout 76. Dazu gibt es aber mehr Infos dann nächsten Monat. Dann natürlich über den kommenden Fallout Day. Das wird auch sehr, sehr spannend. Davon reden wir ja schon immer ein bisschen im Podcast drüber. Dann natürlich hat Ken auch einen eigenen Podcast, was eher ein Radiospiel ist, wo es um Geschichten aus Fallout 76 geht, namens Jet. Natürlich alle Infos in der Infobox oder in den Shownotes, wie man das auch hier mal nennt. Und dann haben wir über was gesprochen, was für mich sehr wichtig war, über Deathshroud. Das finde ich immer sehr cool. Und natürlich auch, wie er überhaupt dazu kam, die Original-Synchronsprecher aus den Spielen für dieses Radiospiel zu gewinnen. Das war sehr cool. Und nochmal darüber zu reden, wie es ist, mit den Original-Synchronsprechern selber ein Radiospiel auf die Beine zu stellen. Wie gesagt, ein sehr cooler Typ. Checkt auf jeden Fall seine Werke aus. Und dann viel Spaß bei dem Interview. So, hello and welcome to our next installment of NewcareCast, or Newcare Talk at this case. We have a very special guest. I hope you already know him. If not, we change that. We have the very nice Ken here from Fallout for Hope, and I hope you can introduce yourself a bit more.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So my name is Ken. I run Fallout for Hope, so we're a global stream team of now some, I think, 820 different streamers from around the world who stream Fallout, all different Fallouts. But we get together a few times a year and stream for worthy causes like St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, who does global work trying to find cures for cancer, cancer that, you know, plagues children early in life. As well as other causes like the Alzheimer's Association that we do with voice actor Wes Johnson. So if there's any fans of Fallout 3, I mean, he was Fox, the Protectrons, as well as some super mutants. He's done Fallout 4 as the Silver Shroud, Mo Cronin. And then probably the character that people love the most, if you're a fan of Elder Scrolls, is Shea Gorath. The Daedric Prince of Madness.
I guess that's what many people know. Maybe not in German because we have also good German voice acting, but definitely the English voice acting is also fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every game.
I always forget about localization. Yeah, yeah. I imagine you have different voice actors there.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And it's in Germany, it's really good.
Yeah, and he was just there. He flew over for Gamescom.
Yeah, I saw. Unfortunately, I couldn't attempt Gamescom, but we had friends there with a booth at Gamescom. So I interviewed them.
It looks like a lot of fun for an event.
Yeah, it's very stressful because it's very long and loud, and but it was much fun there, taught me.
Nice.
Yeah. Fallout community is always very cute, I need to say. So I only met very nice people. I know not everyone, but the ones I came across are always very, very nice.
You know, by and large, I think it is perhaps the most giving and supportive community I've ever encountered in gaming. Everyone really cares about each other, supports one another, and that kindness doesn't just trickle through into charity, but even the ways in which people interact with each other. A good example of that, you know, when you think back to the launch of Fallout 76, something that was supposed to be a PvP game where, you know, people would just murder you for supplies, ended up being something completely different, where people just kind of wanted to hang out, make friends, and create beautiful camps and farms, and just really help one another coming out of the vault. It's a really interesting community.
Yeah, I can also agree. I started playing 76, I guess, in the middle of the year, and it's just like always nice people. They give you stuff, and yeah, can also agree on that. So, and you, we planned this interview for very long. And last weekend you were on a special occasion. Can I ask you a bit about that?
You can ask a little bit about it, sure. So, I had been invited with some creators by Bethesda to New York City for a preview of where Fallout 76 is going. So it was a game update preview. So we get a little bit of a sneak peek in terms of what's coming, as well as, you know, got a chance to connect with the company and hang out and talk video games and do some sightseeing while we were there. It was just a wonderful time to really explore the city and also, you know, check out the Microsoft Experience Center, which is where it was hosted. So Microsoft has an experience center in Midtown Manhattan. And it's a really cool space. When you walk in there, it's a retail store downstairs. So there's computers and laptops and things. And then you go up to the second level and it's like an Xbox gaming center. So they had, I think, 10 workstations right there. So people can go in, try different games. They have Xbox consoles along the wall. And then you head up into an elevator and there's private entertainment spaces upstairs for different purposes, which is where we ended up going. So we did the preview up there. It was a very cool experience. We can't say anything at all about it until we can't even give impressions, but the embargo ends October 1st. So quite a lot of creators will be talking about their first impressions, what they saw, what they think, and even a little bit of information in terms of what's coming later this year.
So people need to stay tuned for what's coming next.
Yeah. And there's, you know, out of anything too, when you think about it, this game has been going on now for almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the anniversary of that. And it's amazing and impressive, one, that, you know, they continue to expand the story in new and interesting ways, but really continue to just support and put out new updates and, you know, a lot of the stuff that they've been doing for balancing and all these great things has been really a welcome addition to the game that just kind of keeps everyone coming back for more.
Yeah, we're also planning to play a bit more 76. I mean, I'm new to that game because I just started playing Fallout 4 last year. So before I just know Fallout but never played it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we will stream a bit Fallout 76 soon. So,
oh, that would be lovely. Yeah, yeah.
We will see if everything is looking fine.
It's a lot of fun to play, particularly, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, it is a wonderful game to play with friends. You know, you can just dive in, you can build, you can hang out. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, a bit overwhelming at the beginning. I need to say, fortunately, I had friends who told me how the game was working at the beginning. That was good.
When was the last time you tried it? I'm curious.
I currently played it. So.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep.
I'm on it.
Yeah,
put already hundreds of hours in it.
Yeah, so they've between balancing and also in the early days. I mean, you walked out of the vault and you're kind of on your own. Over time, you know, they've improved that experience a bit. So when you walk out now, if you played in the early days, you just kind of walk out and you have to figure out perk cards and decide upon a build and all that yourself. But now when you walk out, they kind of give you a starter recommended build. So at least you don't feel like you're being murdered constantly.
Yeah, that was also what I choose. So you can start, of course, this level one with no idea, or start at level 20 with a bit of a build. That was what I chose to do. That was really nice. But we talked about anniversaries, so we have a lot of anniversaries in October coming up.
We do. Yeah, we've got quite a lot happening this year. So, I mean, we've got the Fallout TV show, the season 2 is coming out, which everyone is excited for. We've got the 10th anniversary of Fallout 4 coming. And then we also have the 15th anniversary of Fallout New Vegas coming. It's a very busy year for all of that. And then also coming up here, October 23rd is the second annual Fallout Day. So last year with Bethesda, we started helping them produce and put together a kind of global community showcase that would bring together creators of all different kinds and take the opportunity to showcase their work. So if you're a prop builder, for example, there's an opportunity for you to have your work spotlighted and seen, or you're an artist or a cosplayer, or maybe you create fan films or podcasts or really any combination of things. And it just is nice for fans to get that kind of validation, where, you know, other people get a chance to see their work in a way that maybe people miss, particularly because discoverability is really difficult on social media for people to even find your content to begin with. And you know, the community is kind of scattered all over. Some of us are on Reddit or Discords, or the nice thing about this day is it brings everyone together and really is just an official celebration of the community itself.
That's really nice. Yeah, it's hard to find the people because they're so scattered. I'm glad I found also, how is that, the nice community of Fallout fans.
Yeah, and Bethesda Germany has done a really great job. You've got a really wonderful Fallout community there.
Yeah, we did. That's crazy. Yeah, unfortunately, the deadline is over, I guess.
It is, yeah. So submissions closed September 20th. But, you know, we announced them early on. So if you want to get your stuff spotlighted, you just keep an eye on the socials for Fallout for Hope. Bethesda also announces it officially in their Discord to give people a heads up that the deadline is approaching. Yeah, we got quite a lot of submissions this year.
That's crazy. I bet Fallout is exploding. The community is, I guess, after the show, it's like revived a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the game goes in ebbs and flows, kind of, doesn't it? Where, you know, it's weird because Fallout fans are very passionate and zealous about Fallout. It's a unique set of games. Everyone has their own personal favorite, the one that got them into Fallout, which may or may not be their favorite, but we all have one that we just live and breathe. And while people go and play other games, you know, you kind of always get dragged back. There's just something unique about the game itself. Maybe it's dark humor or, you know, the kind of player agency where you, in the face of the end of the world, it's a personal choice. You know, what do you become in light of that? Do you choose to be a hero or a villain? Do you help or hinder? All of these kind of questions that people ask themselves, and it gives you a lot of freedom to decide how you want to go about helping the Wasteland kind of recover or not.
It's all in your hands in the games.
Yeah, exactly.
That's also what I love about the games. That's you have a lot of choices. You can be who you are or something else for the venue. When you want to be something else, you can also be that.
And they all, like those games, all approach that too from a different angle. I mean, in one regard, you've got the first one, which was the first game I played, which was Fallout 3, that I got for Christmas one year. I think the year it came out, which was, God, what was that, 2008, I think?
Yeah, I need to be around that time.
Yeah, I think it was around that time. So you have something that comes out and just kind of drags you in. I'd never played an open world game quite like that before, so the experience was really new. Everyone talks about that kind of step out moment where you emerge from Vault 101 and the world opens up below you, and it's kind of like, okay, where do I go? I can go anywhere I want. You can discover, you can scavenge, you can follow the quest marker, or just go completely off road. That game really got me hooked on Fallout. But as much as that did, the unique role playing aspects of Fallout New Vegas really kind of hooked me in. Each of the games brings something new every time a new one comes out, whether it's building or voice protagonists, things you may like or not like, but they're always trying something new, which brings in like a whole new generation of fans, new people who just want to try it and play it.
Yeah, that's very nice. So my first Fallout was Fallout 4. my guest already. So,
Yeah, it was for a lot of people. That was the biggest, I think, game launch to date, with the exception of Fallout Shelter, in terms of players and you know, money profit.
Yeah, it was crazy. So the when you look at the gaming, the numbers, who played Fallout 4 was like the numbers going so much up after the show released, because everyone wants to try Fallout, and they grab Fallout 4 or Fallout 76.
Yeah, I mean, we Fallout 76, you get a lot of newer content, and then with the older games, the modding community is just massive. There are so many mods, and more come out every day that just allow you to expand on that experience and create your own stories or experiences in it.
Yeah. So, exactly. So we talked about the anniversary this year. I'm pretty curious if Bethesda also comes with a bit more Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 4 merch. That would be great.
I know. Everyone always is like that. Is like, where's the remasters? Everyone wants the remasters.
Yeah, but we're still speculating if we get a Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas remaster. But now with the show, the New Vegas is more, would make more sense.
I am amongst those people who would very much love a remastered experience. Most recently, I don't know if you are into the Elder Scrolls, but they had launched an Oblivion remaster, which was really exceptionally well done. I never played the original game, so this one I found to be really accessible. It looked beautiful. It was done on Unreal Engine. They did a really great job of that remaster.
Yeah, and I hope that we'll do it with the other Fallout games too, as with the older ones.
I know. I hope they keep the yellow and green filter. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that would be
great.
I know some people
hate or love that, but it has like a little bit of a nostalgia for me.
It gives the character a bit to the games.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So we talked about the big anniversary stuff. So did you have any other projects coming along?
Yeah. So the other thing that we're in now, season two of our podcast, coming up on the season finale. So we've been doing a dark humor original podcast, Chad, a Fallout 76 story, for many years now. And we're kind of closing in on the midpoint of that story. I had planned on doing just four seasons. So after this season finale, we're taking the story in an interesting direction.
Hmm. That sounds very exciting.
Yeah, I think people are going to be liking it.
That's really cool. But what I brought to your project was the Death Shroud special.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, that was, I think to date, that is the most popular thing we've ever done. So we brought the original voice cast of Fallout 4 back to reprise their characters for the first time, and God, I think it was 8 years at the time that we did it. So they hop back into character, and we did a new original story set after the events of Fallout 4. That became incredibly popular. People really seemed to like that kind of a story.
I mean, it's very special. It's like you have all the characters you loved coming together, making a new addition to the story. And it's like after Fallout 4 is finished and you get something new, it's like great for the people. I really loved it to get, after I finished the game, to get into that, because more content, more of my favorite characters.
Yeah, and you know, it's also pretty emotional, right? It was emotional for us doing it, because I love these characters as much as I love the voice actors themselves. And it was just a joy to have them reconnect and voice those characters again. You don't sometimes realize how much you miss something until you have the opportunity to kind of bring it back around. That meant the world to me, to kind of bring them together again.
That was so amazing. So how did you, I'm curious, how did you even manage to do something like this?
Well, so with Fallout for Hope, with the amount of fundraising we've done over the years, we've very luckily been able to build some great relationships with these voice actors who join us for these worthy causes. We don't just do game shows or panels or interviews. We also do little radio dramas. That was the first Fallout 4 one that we've done, but we've done others since. They just enjoy the opportunity to kind of to get together and perform. Some of them have charities of their own, and we leverage the relationships that we have in the community to bring out gamers to support their projects, the things that they want to fundraise for. So a lot of it was just the right time. And then also these great relationships that we've built up over time. That was a really enjoyable project. That ended up generating quite a lot of fan art on Tumblr, which was not something I expected. I have a follow-up story that we've been sitting on for quite some time. One of the things that slowed us down from doing something again was the voice actors strike here in the United States, which kind of put an end to us being able to do on anything until that was resolved, which thankfully it has been.
So we can be excited of more of something like Death Shroud.
Yes, there will be more on the way. Yeah, there's a follow-up story that I've been sitting on that's already written and ready to go.
Yes, remember I was always checking a bit on Tumblr, and there was a girl was like, oh, this is Death Road is so amazing. I wish there was more. And I was typing, I guess you will be lucky. There will be more.
There's going to be.
Yeah, it would be so nice. I would be so happy to have more of that. I have watched it. I hear it once and I watched it once. It was also very interesting to watch them voice acting.
Yeah, that was the other thing that was really fun to watch, you know, because they perform, and it was fun for them too, because I mean, normally they perform in a booth. So you don't get the opportunity to see them doing their craft. Like you don't get the opportunity to see them stepping into a character and becoming that character. It's something that's a really uniquely wonderful thing to see. And we got the chance to see them do that. You get to see Stephen Russell, you know, as Nick Valentine. He had the hat and the expressions, you know, you got to see the intensity in Courtney's face. Who played the female soul survivor, who's just looking for answers in the face of everything that's been happening. It gave me goosebumps to have them together again.
Oh, I believe that you were there. So that's like, I just watched it, but you were in that thing that, oh my God, I would also I guess I would cry a bit.
I did. Yeah, I honestly did. You know, the moment that got me, it was the very first time, because for one, when they record, they're never together. So they record independently. So you don't know. It's not like a radio play where you're all together performing. They record in a booth. They do their lines one by one. And then that's kind of it. They don't get the chance to interact together or play off each other in the way that they were able to for this. But the moment that got me is when Stephen Russell, who voiced Nick Valentine, sees Courtney Taylor, who did the female soul survivor for the first time after so long and after everything that they went through during the events of Fallout 4. She shows up at the funeral of a major character. And as soon as he sees her, the warmth and love in his voice was so real and lovely. That was a really emotional thing for me to see, and see them act that out. It was just, that was awesome.
Oh, I bet. How I said, I also watched the YouTube video, and it was like so amazing to see them and really act. Ah,
yeah, it was lovely to have them together again.
Yeah, but also give me, which was, I would say, funny, was like when Stephen Russell switched between Cotsworth and Nick. This was also funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the other thing. So, I mean, because he plays both characters, you get to see him like rapid fire transitioning through doing Cogsworth right into Nick Valentine. So it's like watching someone have a split identity personality crisis. Episode. Yeah, an identity crisis where he's just kind of flipping through characters and he's having a conversation with himself.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is that? I can't wait to see more of that. That would be so nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to share the next bit of story.
And yeah, so let me see if I have any more questions. But I guess we also have, at the end of the time, slowly. We also always make between 15 and 30 minutes, and we already... almost at 30 minutes now.
Yeah.
That was fast.
Time does fly.
Time does fly. Exactly. If you have anything you want to tell us, so here's your chance.
Yeah, if you get the chance, make sure to tune in October 23rd for Fallout Day. So it'll be streaming on Bethesda's channel. Which is twitch.tv/Bethesda or I think youtube.com/Bethesda. But tune in for both of those channels for what will be a really impressive showcase this year. We'll be doing it live for the first time from Bethesda's offices in Rockville, Maryland. Which I'm really excited for, just to like step inside that building. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I guess for us German will be a bit of a hassle because it will be, I guess, in the middle of the night.
Yes, it will be.
But it's fine. I mean, you can't do time zones for everyone.
Yeah, it does. It makes it a little tricky.
But I'm really looking forward to this. That will be so awesome.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, so coming to a closing note, also saying if you have some spare money, Fallout for Hope is your place to donate, I would say. And thanks, Ken, for having you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was lovely.
And yeah, see you to the next talk. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.
Rein in den Zug, raus aus dem Vault. Das ist Newcastle, dein Fallout-Lore-Podcast.